Okay, there's saints tonight, Leviticus chapter 15. Let's bow our hearts. Father, once again, as we come to you through this place, we recognize once again just the fullness of the grace that you poured out towards us, Lord. We look to ourselves and as Paul said, there's nothing good that is in my flesh. There's nothing good in me. And Lord, yet you still love us. You still chosen to set your love upon us, and you chose to redeem us. And Father, it's what you make into us, which is absolutely amazing. And so we come, Father, just recognizing this truth, but at the same time, Lord, we desire to worship. We desire to come and exalt you and to glorify you. And yet, through your word, you teach us what it is to worship. You teach us how we need to, Father, be cleansed, how we need to wash, how we need to approach you, Lord. And so we're so grateful, Lord, for this direction, the clarity from your word on just how to go about this process. And so once again, Lord, just give us ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us, your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight, as we're in Leviticus 15, last week we covered both chapters 13 and 14, and as we went through that, looking at basically the issue of leprosy, whether it be on the person, whether it be on clothing, whether it be in the home, and so we looked at that aspect both physically and we looked at it spiritually. And tonight we come to another point of uncleanness. And this is basically that uncleanness that dwells within a man. And so, as on the outlook of this chapter, when you look at it from an outward, a physical perspective, one word commentary, you, it deals with the discharges of the man, the discharges of a woman. And so let's go through and just read into this chapter so that you can understand where it is that we're coming from. And then we'll break it into the spiritual sections and look at what just the Lord has for us. So Leviticus 15 verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with this just discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies. Everything on which he sits shall be unclean. Whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has the discharge sat shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Verse 7, he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who has the discharge, if he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Verse 11, whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Verse 12, the vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of the discharge, verse 13, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing. Wash his clothes, bathe his body in running water, and he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and give them to the priest. And the priest shall offer them as
one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. Verse 16 and 17. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Verse 18. And when a woman lies with a man, and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and shall be unclean until evening. Whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Now verse 20. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. And if anything on her bed or on anything in which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, then he shall be unclean 7 days, and the bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Verse 26, every bed in which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. But, verse 28, if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanness. Now verse 31, this is the key to the chapter. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for the one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for the one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. A couple of things to note as we go through this. Again, the commentary of he who has a discharge is, ew, it's just gross. It's just why we want to look at this. Now, understand, there is going to be some things that are very similar that we made note of. When we look to the whole issue of the leprosy, there was someone who identified it, but it was out, it was external. The priest had to look at it. Here is just a man, and it's personal. It's just you. There's not someone who else who has to come and verify anything. There's just, hey, I'm oozing, and so there's an issue. And so with that, you become unclean. You begin to see that both with the man and the woman, there's this difference with the leprosy. With the leprosy, there was always a lamb that needed to be sacrificed. Here, it's simply either 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. So we understand one is a big issue, one is a smaller issue. And so as we look to this, keep in mind that what we have been seeing is basically this. If you remember now, where verse 31 is our key here, thus you shall separate the children of Israel for their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle among them. As we started this portion of scripture, remember, after we went through the sacrifices, those 5, we had made a note that when we come to chapters 11 through 17, that what we're looking at is this: what is clean, or what is unclean, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. That's what we've been looking at. And so when it comes to this whole area of what is clean and what is not clean, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, remember now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been referencing Leviticus 10:10. This is important for you to make a note of this, because Leviticus 10:10 says that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. And this is the key, and that with that you may teach the children. Now, why do you have this? What is clean and unclean? Why do you have that? Remember, in the preceding chapter, in chapter 9, something amazing happened. That there in verse 25, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." Do you understand? The whole issue of why we're looking at this which is clean and unclean has to do with God is in their midst, and God is holy. And so with all of this, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, keep in mind, the whole reason we're looking at that is because what? They want to come and have intimacy with God. They want to worship. And if you have uncleanness, God says, "You're separated from me and you're not able to worship." So keep in mind, when we're looking at these issues of the clean and the unclean, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, I think it's important to just make a note here that when you have in our text, where in verse 2 it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body." The issue of this discharge. Now, keep in mind that the discharge simply means that it means to flow. The literal term would be a running issue. It's something that's oozing out of you. And so, commentary, ew. But I want you to understand that what happened in the last two chapters, remember, we were looking at the leprosy, and the leprosy was this. There was a bright spot. There was a hair. And we understood that what was happening was this. Is it was deep in the flesh. That's what we looked at. The sin is deep in the flesh. And so we looked at this as far as just what is deep in our flesh, this act of sin that we do. And because of that, it needed those sacrifices. And so with that, we saw that this was glory in our flesh. The whole white being the glory, like the transfiguration kind of thing, my attitudes, my actions. And so with these issues that are deep, I think it's important is that we saw that there was a radical sacrifice that needed to be made. And now note this with the discharge, with this running, with this flow, that it's not a big issue. It's washing. That's really what it is. It's just washing. And then at the end of it, to show that you're clean, you bring that turtle dove, or two turtle doves and two pigeons. One becomes that sin offering. Sin being not a transgression, but it's something that is of the sin nature. And the other is being a burnt offering, meaning you're completely given over to. So as we look to this, I think it's important of saying that when it comes to this, realize that because of verse 31 of this chapter, it says, "Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them." You understand? God is saying, "I'm here." And so this is saying, this is the defiling influence that the Lord states that required a cleansing. So I want you to understand that once again, there's nothing really obvious of my sins, but it's a personal understanding of uncleanness as we're seeing this. And so when it comes to that, just realize that sin, it's just going to ooze from me. I don't mean it to, I don't want it to, but whatever comes out of me, believe it or not, is uncleanness. I can't avoid that. Why? Keep in mind, the scriptures teaches one powerful, powerful truth. We have in us a sin nature. If I have a sin nature, then I kind of have to be like Paul that says, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." I have to admit that there's nothing that's good in me. And so as we're looking at this, just keep in mind that when we're coming, God says, "You're among me," and because of that, you have to recognize what is clean and unclean. Now, think about the difference of the nations that are around Israel versus the children of God. When the ones who are of a carnal nature come before a holy God and they hear things like, purity, holiness. It's like, okay, well, I can kind of manufacture that. I can kind of pretend. But what happens is this. Eventually, what's going to happen is that I'm going to feel restricted because I'm not letting my real nature come out. I'm not wanting to change the nature. I'm just masking the nature. Do you understand? The ones that were around Israel, those that were of the Gentiles, those that were unregenerate, what they're coming now is if they want to come to the God of Israel, they now what? They change their whole attitude. I don't want to be what I was. I don't want to be that anymore. And so I just think it's so important that what happens is this. If I'm not truly a lover of God, when I come into his holiness, I'm going to feel restraint. I'm going to feel like I can't be free. And so what happens is this. I'm shackled because I'm not letting the real me come out. I'm just pretending. But if I'm the lover of God, what happens is all of a sudden everything begins to change. There's no greater pleasure or rejoicing for the child of God than to say, I want your word to change me. I want to have a life that's holy. I want to truly have you in my midst, and I'm willingly desiring to become everything that you want me to be. That doesn't happen with the non-believer. Do you understand? And so we see here that when God says, I want you to have a pursuit of holiness for his children, it's like, I want that. I desire that. Well, here's the issue. I don't want anything in my mind. I don't want anything in my heart. I don't want anything in my life that now becomes incompatible to who God is, who he's shown me to be. And what happens is this. What God shows me is my very nature is incompatible. The whole me is incompatible. There's nothing. So when we come to this whole chapter about the discharge, there are some people who are saying, really, why do you have to have an entire chapter dealing with this issue? Well, keep in mind that where Paul in Romans 15:4, he makes this statement, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. He said this was written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comforts of Scripture, might have hope. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. So that tells me that chapter 15 was written for our learning. Chapter 15 is profitable. And so you have to think about this. Is not Leviticus chapter 15 inspired? Is not Leviticus 15 profitable? And so keep in mind, if God didn't need us to have an understanding of this biblical principle of whatever comes out of me is unclean, it shows me the absolute depravity of my sinful nature. That's the blunt end of this. And so we look to it in a practical sense where God says, listen, I want you clean, I want you clean, I want you clean. And where all the other nations, they may glory in certain areas. And so when you have these heathens, there were a lot of cults and a lot of idolatry that dealt with the sensual nature of a man and the woman. And so they exalted these things. Now, God doesn't exalt them to the point of deification, but neither does he condemn them. Do you understand? There are things that are good and right in a marriage, and God says this is good and right. However, there are things that regardless of who you are, when you have this interlocking, you have this something that comes out of a body, it is unclean. And so there is this washing period. There is this cleansing period. And so he does want his people cleansed. Why? Because he is in their midst. And I want you to have this purity. I want you to have this holiness. And so as we look to this, I think it's so important that if God didn't want us to have an understanding of both the physical thing that he wanted to teach his children of Israel, and for us to have this spiritual grasp of what he's teaching us, he would have just said, let's not have chapter 15 in here at all. And there's a reason that it's here. There's a reason that God puts it here. And so it's the learning of what is acceptable and unacceptable. And what he's doing is he's taking it to another step. And so when it comes to this area, The underlying truth that is revealed in this is what comes out of a man, discharge, is unclean. What comes out of me is pollution. What comes out of me is corruption. And so you, when you think about it in this way, that here can only pollution can come out of a natural man. That's it. Now, spiritual things can come out of a spiritual man. Why? Because it's not the spirit, it's of the man, it's the spirit of God. This is the difference. And so keep in mind that what we're looking at is the absolute natural man, the who I am, what I am. Let me take you to just a couple of passages so you can kind of gravitate to a flow with me on just what I mean by talking about the absolute depravity of our nature. I quoted this a couple of times. I want to read a couple more verses, but I want to look at Romans chapter 7. I want to begin in verse 18 where Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me." And this is the reality of what we're looking at, is that when we see the human nature, when we recognize who we are, we come to one grand conclusion, that is, in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Jeremiah says this about my heart, it is deceitful and wicked. And so when we look to that, we begin to see, well, that's the reality of who I am. This is what God has told me that I am. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read it to you. It makes this declaration. I want to read to you from verse 29. And it says this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God wants to make sure that you and me, when we come to this understanding, that there should be no glorying at all of our flesh. There should be no saying, oh my goodness, look at me, aren't I amazing? Because out of me discharges. You understand? Anything that flows from me is unclean. And it's important for us to recognize that biblical truth. In Psalm 19, verse 12, it says this, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. And so when Psalm 19:12 says, cleanse me from my secret faults, you go to Psalm 51 and look at the first six verses, and it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, he says in verse 5, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. It's so important to gravitate to an understanding that out of me, only one thing comes from me. Only one thing flows from me. Only one thing, and I hate to say it, it oozes from me. It's pollution. It's unclean. It's a discharge. And so I just think it's interesting when we're coming here, let's take a look at this portion, and I want you to see a little bit of just what it is that God begins to talk about, how my uncleanness is in every part of my daily life, whether I'm awake, whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm sitting, whether I'm walking, whether I'm lying down. If anyone even contacts me, has contact with me, guess what? Uncleanness. Take a look, if you will. Verse 4, every bed is unclean in which he has a discharge lies. Everything on which he sits shall be unclean. Whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothing, bathe in water. Verse 6, he who sits on anything in which he has a discharge sat shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, be unclean until evening. Verse 7, he who touches the body of him who has a discharge is going to be unclean. Verse 8, if he who has a discharge spits on him who is clean, He's unclean until evening. Verse 9, any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him. Do you understand? Everything about this, no matter what it is in my life, whether it's personal, there are some things in my life that are personal where it's my bed that I lay on. Do you understand? That's personal to me. That's not no one else's business. That's my bed, my bedroom. Only my wife and I share that. That's a personal thing. And so, but you also have the social thing of when I'm walking around or I'm with someone. And so no matter what, even if someone touches me, that I'm unclean. The same thing when it comes to the woman with the discharge. Remember in verse 20, everything that she lies on during a period and also everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and be unclean. Verse 22, whoever touches anything that she sat on, eventually will be unclean. Verse 23, if there's anything on her bed on which he sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean. Do you understand? And in verse 26, every bed that she lies on all the days of her discharge, okay, it's unclean. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean, in verse 27. So what we're seeing is this, that no matter what I do, whether it's in my personal life or public life, whether I'm awake or asleep or sitting or reading, no matter what I'm doing, guess what comes out of me? Pollution. And I think it's so interesting that what God does is this. He says, I'm going to point out every single aspect in your personal life. I want to point out every single aspect in your social life and recognize that in all of this, whatever comes out of you is unclean. And I think, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that reminder, because I constantly want to think that I'm better than that. So as I'm coming, realize that contact with pollution does one thing. It pollutes. It just does. And so, you know, when he talked about if you have, you know, something that is pure and it touches something that's unholy, does the unholy thing become pure? No, the pure thing becomes unholy. It becomes unclean. And that's the principle that what we're looking at. And so as we see this, the fallen human nature is impure at its very core. We would call it this, it's an impure fountain. Everything that flows from me is impure. Everything that flows from me is pollution. And so it's unclean, it's polluted. There's a passage that you guys are aware of. Let me read it to you, found in Mark chapter 7. And in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 20 through verse 23, the Lord speaks of this. He says, what comes out of a man, that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. So when they come out of me, it's gross, it's unclean, it's impure, it's pollution. And I think when we gravitate to what it is the Lord is trying to teach us, all of a sudden we begin to see, now I know, Lord, this is your heart. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, it's by taking heed according to your word. And as we recognize that, we begin to see that this is why there's this washing over and over again. So when it comes to this uncleanness, when it comes to this impurity, when it comes to that which flows from a man or a woman, even when it's a very natural thing. And so for a man and for a woman, there comes a certain point where there is just this natural emission that comes. And so when that flows from your body, you say, I can't stop it. It's just how I'm made, and this is just a natural thing. And he says, yeah, take a look at verse 16 and 17. A man has a natural emission. Verse 18, it's still a natural emission. Verse 20 for the woman through verses 27, it's a natural emission. It's just natural. And you say, well, it's just part of who I am. Yes, but keep in mind, that part of who I am is unclean. That part of who I am, God says, you have to understand, it's still, although it's very natural within you, you have to understand the very core. Anything that flows from you is pollution. Anything that flows from you is unclean. And so what God does is this. He begins to identify, he begins to clarify, and then he begins to make provision for it. And that's what I love about showing the very nature of a man, how anything that flows from me is unclean. Anything that flows from me, a discharge. Anything that flows is negative. And so be mindful of the purity that God desires. Because it's naturally come, but what does he say? It naturally comes. I know. It's going to come out of you. But when it does, wash. That's what I'm calling you to do. Wash. And as we recognize what is the best way to deal with what flows out of my natural carnal body, wash my mind. Wash my heart. That beautiful passage in Ephesians, when it talks about the husband, it talks about the wives, and it talks about just that ministry the husband does to his wives, what he begins to say is this. In Ephesians chapter 5, he makes that statement. Let me read it to you. Verse 26, he says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And so we begin to see that this is that reality of what God wants from us. That there's a portion of scripture, I want to read it to you, found in the book of Titus. I want to read from verses 3 to 5. Jot it down. If you're fast, you can turn there. Just right after the Timothys. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, Paul writes this to one of his young sons in the faith. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared towards men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration, of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So think about what he's writing here. He says, this is my natural man in verse 3. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. My commentary, ew. That looks horrible when it oozes out of me. But that was the natural man. This is who we were. But, he says in verse 4, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared to men, not by the works of righteousness we had done. Do you understand that this is not any righteousness? This is not my natural role. It's not my natural being. It is absolutely, my natural being is impurity. My natural being is corruption. My natural being, my carnal, is pollution. But he says this, not the works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And this is the heart. And I love what God begins to do and as he begins to speak, because that portion now that you understand from Romans chapter 12 begins to take on a whole nother level, because he says in the verse 2 verses, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you understand the whole thing is what? Don't stay the way you are. Don't stay the way the world is, but do this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The one issue in looking at how we deal with this natural pollution is this. I need to wash it. And to be honest with it, sometimes I need to wash it more than once daily. And there's one washing that is true. One, there is the washing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if anyone, you know, believes in me, let the torrents of living water, the Holy Spirit, flow from. That's a washing, the washing of the Spirit. But there's also a washing of the Word. And so when we're coming to our text, I think it's important to really look at what this washing means, what this washing needs to develop, and how we go about it. There's a passage that I just want to share with you, found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And as we look to this, it's just a great understanding of why we need to be washed, what this washing is all about. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you understand? This is the key to washing. It's letting the word of God deal with me again and again and again. So as we look at this passage once again, this chapter 15 in that spiritual sense, let's go through this, because in verse 2 he says, speak to the children of Israel, saying to them, when a man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. Bottom line, what comes out of me is pollution. Just a simple commentary. What comes out of me, anything that flows from me, that's the meaning of the word. If it's a running issue, if it flows from me, it's unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to the discharge, whether his body runs it or his body is stopped up by this discharge of his uncleanness. And so when we look to this, we begin to see, here's the reality of whether it looks like it's coming out or I'm sensing it welling up in me, it's just pollution. And I can't deny that. Now, this is what's amazing. It's not anything that I can go to a priest and say, hey, can you verify this? I know when something's oozing. And so the body itself should be sealed. You shouldn't have any oozing, but there's, when it does and you begin to have these flows, it's a pollution. Then he looks at the personal life where every bed is unclean. And so understand that when it comes to it, in my personal life, nobody can see it, nobody knows it, but I know when in my personal life, something is unclean. I know when it is not of the Lord. And so then whoever touches his bed in verse 5 shall wash his clothes and bathe in water. So now we begin to see that if someone comes in and makes contact with something that I've made contact. Keep in mind, we talked about it, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It just constantly spreads and it spreads and it spreads. And my carnality, my pollution is going to spread from person to person to person, to thing to thing. And so it's amazing that the cleansing, the purifying of it is simply washing. So you understand, it's not something devastating where now I got to have a sacrifice of a goat or a sacrifice of a sheep. It isn't to that point. This is where it's just my basic human nature. Wash it. And I think it's important for us as Christians to recognize that that is what we should be doing continually, washing ourselves in the washing of the water of the word. And so we should be washing our family. We should be washing those that are there. We should be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making this melody, the love of God, the work of God. And so we begin to see that here, along with that social life in verse 6, anyone who sits on anything who has a discharge, he shall wash his clothes again. The same principle occurs. You touch it, you wash it. Verse 7, you touch the body of him who has a discharge, you shall wash your clothes and bathe in water. So there's this cleansing that God wants. And keep in mind, the cleansing isn't just where you think, I'm going to just wash my clothes, or I'm going to just wash my hands. Do you understand? There has to be a full cleansing. My clothes get washed, my body gets washed, my body puts on new clothes. Do you understand? There's this new thing that begins to happen. When I touch that which I know is impure and I recognize it's impure, I want God to do a deep cleansing, not a surface cleansing. And so often we just think, I'll just wash my hands, let's get on with it. That's not God. When it comes to the pollution that's in me, I want a deep cleanse. I want a washing. I want to take my clothes and get rid of those. I want to take that garment, and I only want what? I want the garment of his righteousness. I don't want my own righteousness, that garment. That's already polluted. Do you understand? I get rid of the garment of my own righteousness. I only want the garment of his righteousness. And then I say, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That becomes my heart. And so then, as we continue with the social, verse 9, well, anything he who's a saddle on which he who has the discharge rides, it's going to be unclean. Now we begin to see that here it's spreading to others. So if I'm working on something, if I'm moving with something, that becomes unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean. So if anyone wants to help me out, keep in mind that I'm recognizing that with my pollution, they're being polluted, with the exception of one, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amazingly, when he gets touched by the unclean, something amazing begins to happen. So as we look to the Lord, as we look to his life, there's just this beautiful passage where you know the woman who has a flow. And there's a whole crowd around the Lord. There's a thronging him and pushing him. And what begins to happen is this. As they're pushing, as they're thronging, all of a sudden, this woman comes and says, listen, I know what I need to do. So in Luke chapter 8, this beautiful passage, it says this, verse 41. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet, begged him to come to his house. For he had his only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now, here's where the key. Understand, verse 42, the multitudes are thronging him. Verse 43 of Luke 8 says this. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. So this is what we're looking at. We looked at that whole thing. We're in Leviticus chapter 15, and we saw that when it reached beyond the days, verse 25, if a woman had a discharge of blood many days other than the time of her customary impurity, if it runs beyond her usual time, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. This woman not being able to fellowship, not being able to go to synagogue, not being able to worship, she was ostracized for 12 years having this flow, uncleanness. She spent all of her livelihood on physicians who could not be healed of any. And she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her flow of blood stopped. This is cleansing. You go to the King. You go to the Lord. You go to Jesus. And you say, listen, I'm oozing. I'm spreading pollution. And I want to touch you. And so what she does is this, she touches the hem of his garment. The hem of a garment is a unique thing. It talks about his authority. When you have that hem, we talked about the little, you know, bells that were there on and the cloth, you know, danglies that were there from the priest's garment, and those were a sign of authority. And so they want to make those things large and they show how much authority I have. Well, when David cut the edge of Saul's garment, it was the mark, I'm cutting your authority, I'm taking away your authority. Well, the same thing, she touches the hem of his garment and immediately the flow of blood stopped. She came to his authority, and this is the only time when righteousness is the one that cleanses pollution, when it's the Lord. And so we go to him. And then immediately in verse 45, it says, who touched me? And when all denied it, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But he said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now the woman that saw that she, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared to him that in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And then what's amazing is the word is, your faith has made you whole. Coming to him, touching him, he makes you whole. And so we see that now in verse 13, how are we made whole? Well, in Leviticus 15, 13 says, and when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days. Seven is the number of completion. I'm now completely clean. It's that number that you see. And so from that, he shall wash his clothes, bathe his body in running water. Now, this isn't still water. This isn't bath water. This is running water. This is that kind of water from, you know, John 7:38. It's a torrent of living water. This is Holy Spirit water. And so you now come and you're now in that running water. You're with the Holy Spirit. You shall be clean. And it says this. On the eighth day, he should take for himself 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. So it's not a lamb anymore. It's a minor issue before the Lord. But although it's minor in the form of a sacrifice, because all you need is 2 little turtle doves or 2 pigeons, minor when it comes to, it's not a bull, it's not an ox, it's not a goat, it's not a sheep, it's not big. But keep in mind that although it may be this minor, that it's just my sin nature oozing from me, Jesus, you still need to deal with it. Why? Because you want to come and worship. I don't want anything that's incompatible with this holiness. And so I love his heart, because he says, just take the 2 durlums. One becomes a sin offering. The sin offering, you know, is sin nature. And the other as a burnt offering, I'm going to be completely given over to. This is the key. You come to the Lord, you touch his authority, you allow the Holy Spirit to wash over you. You recognize, God, I need to deal with my sin nature. I'm going to give that over to you. I want to give my whole body over to you. In other words, nothing is incompatible with your holiness. I don't want that around you, because I know you're with me. This is a book of worship. God is now in their presence. And as soon as he's in their presence, I said, now I need to teach you something. Now that I'm here and now that you can experience my glory, you got to know what's clean and unclean. You got to know what's holy and unholy. You got to know what's acceptable and unacceptable. You got to know this, because I'm in your midst. And if you come into my midst with that which is unacceptable, guess what? You're not going to be accepted, but I can make you accepted. This is what the Lord does. And so he offers them. And so I love this fact. You have one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering. So, verse 15, the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. And so when you have these natural interactions, even between a husband and a wife, and so when you have these natural things that occur, keep in mind that when you have a husband and wife, the bottom line is this: even when you come together as God has joined you, guess what? You still have a sin nature. Anything that flows from you is still unclean. Unless it's what? Unless it's the word. Unless it's him. And then that's what washes us. That's what cleanses us. And it's so important, because there's times that we think, well, now that we're married, you know, everything is lawful. Well, not really. It's lawful, but it doesn't help you out to say it's holy. Do you understand? You can do it, but guess what? There's a separation that comes. There's an uncleanness that comes. There's this thing where God says, I can't have intimacy with you in that part unless what? Unless you come over to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness. And so there are things that are right and natural between a husband and a wife. But even that, he says, what? We should be pursuing, as a married couple, righteousness. We should be pursuing his kingdom. We should be pursuing his heart. And so not just the things of the world does. That's not what my marriage should stand for. Do you understand? Our marriages should stand for holiness and purity and glorifying God and welcoming him into our marriage and worshiping. And there should be nothing in our marriages that should be incompatible with his glory and his holiness. And so I love the fact that no matter what it is that he talks about with a man by himself, where it's a natural emission that it would come through, like in verses 16 and 17, when it's a man and a wife together, keep in mind, regardless of what that is, or when it's a woman who has a natural flow, the same thing happens when she lies on something or sits on something or touches it. Nothing changes from that first section. It's all just a repeat. And so he means, whether it's a man or a woman or a man and a woman together, it's when you have something that comes out of you, the only thing that can come out of you is the corrupt carnal nature. And God, thank you for putting it in your word. Thank you for putting this clarification. And so the whole reason that it happens when she is cleansed, same thing, verse 28 and 29, when she's cleansed of her discharge, and she should count for herself 7 days, and after that she'll be clean, and on the eighth day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and bring them to the priest. The door of the tabernacle meeting, the priest shall offer one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering. The priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord. For the discharge for uncleanness. Do you understand? Same thing happens. It's just a repeat, repeat, repeat. And I think it's so important to recognize we all have a sin nature. And it all needs to be dealt with. And why verse 31 now, come to this and look at why it's the key. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness. You understand, it's not that God wants to be separate from us. He wants us separate from our uncleanness. Big difference. See, when we're unclean, we always think, oh my goodness, that's it. That, you know, we're done. God doesn't want us. God doesn't love us. I'm unclean. I'm done. You know, what hope do I have? Well, keep in mind, the reality is a little bit different than that. There is a passage in Jeremiah chapter 26, and I want you to follow this flow with me. In Jeremiah chapter 26, I'm going to read the first 8 verses, so you got some time to turn there. But in Jeremiah, it begins this, Jeremiah 26, verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, and the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, his word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah. So I said, get to my house, get to the temple, and speak. Now this is what he does. And he says, I want you to speak to all the cities of Judah, which shall come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. So he says, okay, everyone's going to come, and I want you to talk to them. And this is what I want you to say. Look at verse 3. I love the heart of the Lord. Perhaps, I love him, perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. Isn't this the heart of love? And I don't want to be separated from you, but I want to be near you. But in order to do that, you have to be separate from your impurity. And then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my laws as I set before you, to heed my words of my servant, the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, I'm going to make this house like Shiloh. I'm going to make this city like the curse of all the nations. Well, the priests and the prophets, all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of the speaking, all the Lord commanded him to speak, all the people, the priests and the prophets, and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die. I love that. Don't tell me to separate myself from my uncleanness. Don't tell me that I have a nature that's bad. You understand? We don't want to hear that, but yet God needs us to hear that. Why? Because in and of me, nothing, my flesh, nothing good dwells, but I know that him in me with his robe of righteousness around me, he cleanses me. And what I want to come forth from me is not me, but him in me, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, because I've been crucified with him. This life, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is what I want flowing from me now. This is the heart of God. And so all of a sudden we see here when they want to kill him in verse 11 of Jeremiah 26, so the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against the city. And you've heard it with your ears. And Jeremiah spoke to all the princes, all the people, said, the Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and to the city, and against the city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, look at verse 13, amend your ways and your doing, obey the voice of the Lord your God, then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. And as for me, here I am in your hand, do with me as seems good and proper. He just doesn't care. You want to kill me? Kill me. I've done what God called me to do. I said what God called me to say. And I think this is what's so important when it comes to what we see here is the key verse of Leviticus 15, verse 31. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die. In their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle, which is among them. Do you understand? He doesn't want us to be separate from him. He wants us to be separate from his uncleanness. Now you can not like what I have to say, and you can think, Lo, you should die. You should just die. Just kill the guy, because he constantly says, you know, God loves us, but now he's saying, man, you're unclean. Well, God is saying, you know what worship is? Do you know what holiness, do you know who I am? And remember now, we've talked about this being the book of worship. God has now showed up. And as he showed up, he just did it in power and glory by consuming the sacrifices. Then immediately the priest says, let's do it my way. God consumed them too with the fire, saying, listen, you've got to know you don't show up on your own authority. You don't show up in the way that you think. You show up the way that I said. And if not, you die. And this is what he's now saying in verse 31. You've got to separate them from their uncleanness. You've got to recognize that there is out of me, nothing good dwells. So what comes out of me, I don't want it to be me. I want it to be him in me. And this is the thing, because when it's me, one thing happens. I defile everything that he's doing in my life. Because it's me. It's my sin. That's pollution now comes out. And if people think that's, you're a Christian and pollution comes out. See, that's not should happen. When I'm a Christian, it should be Christ in me should be coming out. And so I love the fact he says, listen, you have to, because they're going to be separated from me. That's the bad news. Of course, death is physical, but at the same time for us, it's spiritual, it's separation. You want to have intimacy, you got to deal with this carnal flesh pollution that is in you. And so verse 32, this is the law for the one that has the discharge. From him who emits the semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or a woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. The law holds true for everyone. Everyone. Wherever I have that commentary, I see my flesh, ew, makes me unclean, I need to wash. I need to wash. I need to wash. And the important thing, I need to wash with that running water, the word and the spirit, and say, okay, I'm going to give one for the offering. I want the clarity of my sin nature, and I want the clarity of me giving myself completely over to you. That's the heart. That's the purity. That's the righteousness. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for just giving us an understanding of why this chapter was so necessary. Father, that truly that everything that is written before was for our learning. We know that. We understand that. And that's what this truth is. And so we come before you, Lord, just recognizing that as you've given us this word, we want to be washed. We want to be sanctified. We want, Lord, not to let our old man rule and reign, but we want the new man, your spirit, to rule and reign in us. That when anything comes out, let it be of you, Lord. Let it be of you. That when men and women see that, they glorify you, not us, for what we've accomplished, because it's not by any works of righteousness that we've done. It's because of your love, because of your grace, because of your sacrifice. So knit our hearts to this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.